What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
1 John chapter 5. The next few weeks, probably months, are going to be very powerful weeks for you. You are going to be transformed from the inside out. Because we are going to be having some very interesting conversations on who we are, why we are here. And some of you will literally go to the moon and back. Amen. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. The Bible says he... Yeah, guys, thank you. I was so blessed. Amen. That was just awesome. Amen. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Verse 11 says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Continue. He who has the Son has life. The Bible says, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Amen.
Amen.
Continue. These things I have done what? I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You know, as a believer, there are questions that if you begin to ask will affect your meditation. Is somebody with me? There are questions that when you begin to ask will affect your thought patterns. And if you find the right answers to those questions, are you with me? It will help you truly live and enjoy the Christian experience. Is somebody with me? You know, some people are Christians just because they don't want to go to hell. You say, wow. I just have to stay with this thing, you know, because I don't want to go to hell. Well, set the record straight. Hell is real. So, if you are just a Christian for the sake of not going to hell, it's a good reason. But there is more to it than that. Is somebody with me?
Yes, sir.
Somebody say, is the fear of hell not enough to be born again? I say, it's more than enough reason to be born again. Because it's not a place to go. Hell is real. Some people say, oh, I'm a Christian because, you know, I'm afraid of the devil. Thank God you have found the Father. I was telling you during Faith Adventure, if you don't believe there is a devil, you are living in self-denial. Because there is a devil. Anybody who doesn't believe there is a devil doesn't believe there is God. Somebody say, why? Because it's God that told us that there is the devil. So, there is a devil. But the thing is this, what do you believe about the devil? Do you follow now? What you ought to believe about the devil is not what some former demoniac have said about him is not what somebody has written about him. Anything you should know and believe about the devil is what the one who created him says about him. You follow now? I've seen some people who believe that the devil comes as mosquitoes. They study the operations of Satan. And they are experts in the operations of demons. How they operate. How to identify them. Come on. So we hear stuff like you can identify demon-possessed people by the way they are dressed, by the way they look, by the way they appear, the kind of foods they eat. If it's not founded on scripture, it's a lie. You understand me? If it's not founded on scripture, it's a lie. If it's not founded on scripture, it's not the truth. Because even your faith, are you listening to me?
Yes.
And what you know about the devil must be what the Bible have said about him. And if you look through the Bible, what we constantly see is the victory of Christ over the devil. Jesus said, I have seen Satan like lightning, what? Fall to the earth. It was not, when Jesus said that in the book of Luke, he was not talking about how he defeated the devil in his burial. He was talking about how he was cast down from heaven in the rebellion. How the devil said, I will arise and make my throne like the Most High. And God said, the Bible doesn't say God just pushed him out. The Bible doesn't say some angels held him and escorted him down to earth. God held him. You get the picture? God said, you think you are the Most High? So I have a feeling maybe God just kept swinging him, and said, off you go. And that's how he landed here on earth and has become man's problem. He was here before you were created. And the Bible calls him the enemy of our soul. What am I saying? Praise the Lord. The total Christian experience is not about battling with the devil. Some people feel that the Christian experience, some people feel they were freer before they became saved. That the devil was not troubling them. But the moment they got saved, Kai, there is a raging battle. So if you look at their Christian walk, it is always, they are always looking forward for the next thing the devil wants to do. And how they are constantly in a what? Constantly in a battle. I was chatting with a dear friend from outside the country the early hours of this morning, and he's been through a lot lately. And he said, look, Pastor, this is what is happening. This is what is happening. I'm getting tired. I said, you can't afford to get tired. Are you with me? Many, the Bible says, are the afflictions of a disciple. Yeah. The word righteous there means disciple. That means if a man disciplines his life to stay with the word of God, there will be many afflictions. But you know the truth. That's not where it ends. The Bible says, but he does what? He delivers them from all. Deliverance is sure. He didn't say he might be delivered from some. The Bible says he delivers him from all of them. So don't get tired. So there are questions. You understand what I'm saying? As a believer, there are questions you should ask yourself. When you sit down, you should ask yourself. When you are in your car, you should ask yourself certain questions. For example, why did Jesus come? How many of you have ever really asked that question? Why did he come? Did he have to come? You know, if I've never visited you, let me see your hand up. I've never visited you. Okay. I've never visited you. Yeah, okay. So Melvin, we should arrange a visit. Now, if I visit you after service today, you will not be surprised, right? Will you be surprised? It's Melvin I'm asking. I said he won't be surprised. You will be surprised, he won't. Now, Melvin said he won't be surprised. He's expecting the visit because of the question I just asked. If I visit you every day, will you be surprised? Now, if I visit you every day, let me try and know if you'll be surprised. Every day I'm in your house, I come, I'm there in the morning, I come, you know, in the evening. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I just came to visit again. Then I come in on a, you know, on Tuesday, I'm in your house, you know. And then after service on Sunday, I still follow you to your house. You know, at some point, you start asking, won't you ask the question? Why? Why is he always coming? What's he, what does he want? Some of you will make it your conversation. You start discussing it with your friends. You know, I think pastor should give us a break. The pastor cares too much. Amen. And I know some people don't even want pastors ever coming to their house. Thank God I'm not that type. Praise God. But you get what I'm saying? Now, when you start asking those questions, why is he coming? You will strike answers. I want you to notice those questions are going to provide you answers that will become your consciousness. Do you follow now? Maybe you ask Pastor Dio, you say, Pastor Dio, Pastor has been coming around. Why is he coming? You say, ah, if Pastor is coming, calm down. It means something. There's something he wants to do. That's how he visited me consistently for 4 weeks, and I broke into something. You know, when you hear that, because of that question you ask, if you get that answer, and that's true, you'll be looking forward to my coming. But if Pastor Dio says, he's visiting you, there's trouble. In fact, he started visiting me like that after 2 weeks. Man, he ran me down. You know, it will now become your consciousness. What he tells you will be your perception of me. It will project your expectations, and it will become your reality. For example, why did Jesus come? You say you're a Christian. You say Jesus came and he died for you. Have you ever asked, why did he come? Now, that's not a theological answer. You know, some of you are wondering, it's true, why did he come? John chapter 10, verse 10. Let me show you something. Why did he come? Why did Jesus come? Did he just come like all the other men in history we hear about? This Jesus we sing about, we talk about. Why did he come? John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus, this is Jesus speaking. He said, I have done what? I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Kai, why did Jesus come? He said, this is one of the reasons he came. He said, I came that they may have life. That they may have life. Then he didn't just say, I came that they may have life. Notice, he said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I came that they may have life. So the question you ask yourself is, am I not already alive? Were the people dead? You know why some of you, when you go out for evangelism and you say, Jesus will give you life, and the person say, what am I now? You run out of it. You don't know what to say next. It's because you have not even fully understood what he gave you. You know, you walk up to somebody, you say, look, you know, I just want to share with you about the love of God. You say, what will Jesus do for me? He said, if Jesus comes into your life, he will give you life. And the guy looks at you and says, look at this crazy human being. Am I not alive? Which life is Jesus coming to give me? If you don't know what that life is, you will not know what to say. He said, I came to give them another kind of life. If Jesus said he's going to come to people who are already breathing, already going about their business,
who are already alive and says, the reason I came is so that they will have life, then you should ask yourself, what is that life? Say that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That word abundantly there, please, I don't want to speak too much Greek because I'm still learning English. But permit me to use the Greek word there. The Greek word for abundance there is the word perissos. It means super abundant in quality, superior in quality. Do you get it? How many of you got it? Superior in quality, super abundant in quantity. Only an ignorant person will substitute 2 million naira for £1 million. You must be a child for somebody to walk up to you and say, will you take 2 million naira or will you take £1 million? He said, I take two because two is more. See, you must be a what? A child. You lack knowledge. Some of you will prefer just £50,000. How many people prefer just £50,000 to 2 million naira? Say, just give me, don't bother, just give me £50,000 out of that. I was talking to someone recently. I said, how do they play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in some countries? Because if you play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the UK version, and you win £1 million. Don't win £1 million. Win £250,000. I think you would prefer to win in... To win £1 million naira. Why? The pound is superior in quality. That's what I want you to say. It's superior in quality. So, it's just like saying, I know you have money. You have naira. I came that you may have more money and have it more abundantly. What I'm saying is that you are dealing with naira, but I've brought pounds. And I've not just brought pounds. I've brought it more than what you have in naira. So you have £1 million, but I've brought you £10 million. Are you getting me? I've brought you money. So just because I say, Pastor Steve, you have money, but I have come that you may have money, doesn't mean that I'm saying that you should be dealing with money at the level you've been dealing with it. So you have to understand, what money again do you want to bring? When in this church, I, Pastor Steve, I'm the richest man with your £2 million. And I'm saying, Pastor Steve, calm down. How many of you get it? I have come that you may have real money. That's why the Message translation says, I've come that you may have real life. See, what Jesus brought is not a religion. What Jesus brought is a life. Amen. Is somebody with me? Yes, he brought a life. I have come that they may have eternal life. But you know what religion has done to us? It has told us that eternal life is what we will experience when we go where? To heaven. It's what we'll experience when we go to heaven. You know, when we're singing that song, you know, Face to Face blessed me so wonderfully today. You know, I was so blessed. As we're singing that, when I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face. I said, no. I'm not looking forward to when I'll be free at last. Whoever the Son of Man sets free. So you have to change that song. Whoever the Son of Man sets free, not in heaven, here is free indeed. Freedom is not what we look forward to. Freedom is our reality. So what has confused a lot of people is the word eternal. Eternal. You say, oh, eternal life. Oh, let me behave in a particular way so that I can gain eternal life. Let me be a good person so that I can see there's an eternal home. It is different from eternal life. Eternal home is a place. Eternal life is a nature. Amen.
Amen.
And the word eternal simply means anything that is impervious to time and to death. It means anything that time cannot walk on to decay. That's why we don't have eternal cars. Buy a car, don't even drive the car, leave the car. After a couple of years, what will happen? The car will develop fault because the car is not eternal. That means time has a way of working on it. Time has a way of affecting it. Please, I need you here. Is that okay? Time has a way of working on it. Can I ask you, why do you age? It's time. That's why you are not the way you used to look 15 years ago. Because this body of yours, time is working on it. You are bound within this spectrum called time. Use every lotion you want to use. Eat everything you want to eat. Time will work. As a matter of fact, if nothing changes about you, you will be disturbed. They say you have a problem. Imagine you looking the way you were at the age of 10. You know the thing I notice about humans? When we are young, we want to be old. Then when we start getting old, we start working hard to become young. You know, if you see a lady, ladies don't like talking about their age. There are some men who are like that too, but most ladies, they don't talk about their age. How old are you? I'm plus one today. How old are you? I'm plus one today. Then when they enter into their 30s and 40s, they say, I'm getting old. You know, when they were young, they didn't want anybody disrespecting them. I'm not your mate. Especially when they marry, they leave the choir. You understand what I'm saying? Because all these girls in the choir will be thinking that because all of us are in the choir. You understand? So, you know, they are walking as though their hand is hanging. You know, we're married. It's an attainment. They feel good. Then, when they are in their 60s, in their 40s, they start buying short skirts and everything. Start paying. You're just working so hard to stay young. All those conflicts in interest is time. It's time that is working on you. Jesus said, I came to give you life that time cannot affect. Are you understanding what he's saying? So I came to give you a life that time cannot affect. Meaning in this place, time does not exist. You have it now. That's the life I came to give to you. A life that is not bound by what is happening on the outside. They say, this is what is happening now. What is happening now cannot affect this life.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
You say, the economy is going through a recession. Jesus said, yes. That is normal for that life. But what I have come to give to you, do you understand me?
Yes,
these things called recession, they cannot affect it.
Yes, sir.
So let me submit to you. He said, I've come to give you life like God has it. He said, the way God lives, and you perceive God, and you say, wow, God is in a class, all by himself. That life that makes God impervious, that makes God impenetrable to whatever is happening to mortals. Are you with me? He said, that is what I have come that you may have. He said, that you may have life, and have it how? More abundantly. That's his mission. That means if Jesus came on earth and did everything, and eventually we did not have this life, or this life is not available, then the whole essence of his coming will be a waste. So the next question I ask myself is that, did he come? Is that life available?
Yes, sir.
Do I have it? Then I begin to ask myself, what can this life do? You see, when we got born again, he used to tell us, you know, some of us, the way we got born again is the reason for our struggle. Because the moment we got born again, they told us the things we shouldn't do. Instead, they should have been telling us the things we could do. So some of you, the moment you got born again, the only thing they told you is, don't do this. Don't go here again. Don't go here again. That's how they conditioned you. Nobody told you that you can now lay hands on the sick. You can now cast out devils. You can now... Rather, they were telling you that, don't cast devils out, though. Because if you are in a bid to cast them out, if you don't take time, they will enter you. So the believer in Christ was presented to you like a what? Like a weakling. Thank you, Lord. The book of John is a very interesting book. It talks about Jesus, about his life, how he formed everything, created everything. I don't want to go into that. Then began to speak of his glory. Then he spoke about the miracle, how he turned water to wine. I'm not going to go into that today. But in chapter 2 of John, John now talks about what that life can do. Meaning that life can change natural things. You know, it talks about, I want you to see. The Bible says this was the first of his miracles, and there Jesus just manifested. Then in chapter 3, he tells us, are you with me? How somebody came to inquire of that life. Please follow. Are we alive? Eh? Father, we give you praise.
Thank you, Lord.
John chapter 3. That's why I told you, don't be in a hurry. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Follow this truth. Just follow where we'll get somewhere. Not today. We'll get somewhere before the end of the month.
Amen.
Or before the end of the year.
Amen.
Go to John chapter 2, verse 23. Let me read something there before we go to John chapter 3. John 2, verse 23. Read the last two verses. Do you have the Passion Translation? You are not passionate. All right. Okay. How many of you have ever heard of any translation called the Passion Translation? Okay, thank God. Because some people are saying, I don't know. Talking now. Let's read New King James if you don't have passion. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. When did they believe? When they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, what is scripture saying? In John chapter 1, it tells us about the life of God. In chapter 2, he turned water into wine. Then the Bible says he did many signs and wonders, and people flocked to him. That means they had seen another species of being. Looking at Jesus, they could see that this was just more than the son of a carpenter. They could see that this man was turning impossible situations around. They looked at his life. He healed the sick. He opened blind eyes. Amen.
Amen.
And the multiple saw this and they said, look, we are following you. Jesus said he refused to commit himself to them. Or rather, he refused to be swayed. Because he knew what is in a man who is not saved. These people were not born again. They only believed that, wow, this is our superhero. They were seeing him like Thor. This is Superman. They didn't understand eternal life. They were just seeing him as, wow, what a prophet. So they followed him. They admired him. But he knew. Listen, if someone comes tomorrow and decides to perform other miracles, that is human beings. They will follow. And nothing wrong with miracles. Amen.
Amen.
They will follow him. They're like, wow. But the Bible says Jesus refused to commit himself to them. This is what John was saying in 1 John 1:2. Give us 1 John 1:2. You know, I'm taking them to this thing so I can see. 1 John 1:2. When John was talking in 1 John, he's writing as an old man. He wrote this particular book as a younger man. Now he's writing as an older man. He says in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He says, look at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, referring to Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And you know what the Bible says in John 1:14. And the word became and did what? And dwelt amongst us. Meaning that this word we are talking about, he became a human being. We saw him. This word of God you're always hearing, we saw him. Jesus is the word of God. So the Bible tells us in John 1, he said, concerning the word of life. Look at what he says in verse 2. He says, and the life, he didn't say the word. He says, and the life was manifested. Meaning this life that Jesus was carrying in mortal flesh, it was manifested. We saw it. Listen, that brings me to point two. Eternal life in a man should be manifested. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, when they say somebody is a Christian, they say somebody is born again. Are you with me? This life that Jesus has come to give to us, it should be manifested in our everyday lives.
Amen.
It should be manifested in whatever we put our hands upon to do. The Bible says the life was manifested and we have seen. Notice, this is not Jesus' testimony of himself. This is another person's testimony of him. That is how in your office they will say, Kai, this eternal life they are talking about, we have seen it. There are people who live above diseases. So. See, when they are talking, they will say your case is different because people will look at you and we are coming there. People should be able to look at you and say you are not ordinary. He said, we have seen. This life was manifested and we have seen and we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father. Hi. That means this eternal, we only used to hear it. It was with the Father, but it has now been what? Manifested to us. Meaning the things that we only used to hear that only God could do. We are seeing mortal men doing them now.
Yeah.
Are you understanding it? That is what they saw about Jesus. Now, there are certain things that in those days we used to hear, only God can. But we saw doctors doing it. We saw Jesus. That is what eternal life is. Life like God has it. Do I have a weakness here? Do you know one of the things that shocked Jesus' disciples? You know, when we read that scripture, I think Matthew 14, when the Bible tells us that Jesus came walking on water, how many of you know that story? You know, Jesus had performed many miracles. How come that particular one shocked his disciples? Come on. Let me ask you. Somebody that turned water to wine, can't he walk on that water? Someone that raised the dead to life. When he raised the dead to life, they didn't quake. When he converted water to wine. I know some of you will turn a wine company out of that miracle. He multiplied bread, fish. It was shortly after he multiplied, they saw it. So when you hear John saying in 1 John 1, the life was manifested, he's not saying that we saw one man who was walking like a sissy. Because some of you, your picture of Christianity, are people who are just nice. Are you getting me? Just smiling, being sissy-like, you know. They've lost every form of self-defense. Are you mean? You know, when you pick a knife, you can just run it into their eyes. They say, for the sake of Jesus. You know, no, that's the picture. Some wimps. And sometimes you even feel some of them are broke. They struggle. They suffer, but they love God. A life of servitude. These people, kind. Christians try devotion. You know, that's the only picture of Christians you have. Don't get it wrong. John said, we saw God. See this God we could talk about. We have seen him. We have seen him. He's real. Why did the miracle of walking on water shock them? You know why? In Hebrew mythology, they believe that any attribute of God can be delegated to a man except walking on water. That is why, if you see the miracles recorded, they were miracles that they had seen. There were shades of those miracles. Jesus raised the dead to life. Elijah, you know, he just like said, Elijah did it too. But he's a man. Even Moses, their lawgiver. Jesus multiplied bread and fish. Elisha did it. In fact, Moses did not even need to multiply. He called the quakes to come. And Moses gave them manna for 40 years. If you have a man that gives you manna for 40 years, you can never forget him. And the Bible says Moses gave them manna for 40 years. So as much as they honored Jesus, we have seen this before. But you know, one of the things you will never see in the Old Testament, you will not see a man walking on water, because it is believed that only a God, only a spirit can walk on water. And the Bible says, in the night, as they were rowing, of all the miracles they saw in Jesus, this one broke the camel's back. They now saw him coming on water. Listen, when scripture says, they said, this is a ghost, they were not saying this is an evil spirit. What they were saying, he looks like Jesus, but it cannot be. This is only a spirit, only a God can do this. That means up until that time, they never knew that Jesus was a God. They only saw him as a mighty prophet. You remember when he asked his disciples, who do they say I am? Didn't you hear the answers that came out of their mouth? The first answer is that he's a prophet. Because they remember Elijah. They say, you know, the Bible, you know, they tell us in the Lord that Elijah is coming. So, some say, if you don't agree, you will not say it.
Oh, yeah.
It's because they agreed with what some were saying. That's why they said, some say that you are Elijah. They were thinking of him as a prophet. That's when Peter opened his mouth and said, you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, I know you very well. This is not coming from you. I know you very well. This is not coming. This is more than intelligence. This is revelation. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. That means Peter saw, for the first time, Peter saw something about Jesus that even Jesus knew that only the Holy Ghost would have revealed it. A man who had mastery over nature. Kai. If he doesn't want. He looked at the wind, nature. There's some who say you can't do anything about nature. He looked at nature and said, be still. The Bible says everywhere was calm. They just went back and said, what manner? They didn't say what God. They didn't say this is a God. They said, what manner of man? They were still perceiving him as a man. It was towards the end of the walk. You know, in the book of John, is somebody following? In the book of John, Jesus performed the miracle, John chapter 2. And so he told them, he said, Jesus, which, you know, because he took a, the Bible tells us that he took whips and entered into the synagogue and began to flog them. And said, my Father's house is for business of souls. It's a place of prayer. Not, you know, we're just flogging them. And they said, Jesus, on what authority are you flogging us? You know, the Jews believe in authority. Somebody must send you. On what authority are you flogging us? Because he was calling the house his Father's house. Look at it there. And when he had made a whip of cords, that rope he used, that koboko, he's the one that made it. He didn't buy it. When he made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. Now, a sissy couldn't have been. See, you know, the picture of you that you have of Jesus, a man who walks like this can't hold a whip and drive out men. That means this guy was, this Jesus was, he had six packs. Some of you can see, my one pack is disappearing. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus did not have one, he didn't have a keg. He had packs. He had muscles. Besides the fact that he was a God, he was a solid man. To be able to beat those number of people, and he was saying he sent them all out. No thug stood there with the sheep and their oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. Out! Glory to God. No, I love Jesus. The verse says, and he said to those who sold those, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Look at what he says next. Then his disciples remembered that it was written. Look at. The Bible says his disciples remembered that it was written. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. That's when they now remembered. So as they will look at his life compared with the Psalms. I mean, this thing they used to tell us. We are seeing glimpses of it in his life. I want to let you know that all this is not Jesus that wrote it about himself. Look at the next verse. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Which things? The way you are beating us. We agree that you have beaten us. But what sign? What sign do you show to us? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. Amen. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. We're going to come to that very soon. Amen.
Amen.
But I mean, you know, the only sign he said I'll show to you is my death, burial, and resurrection. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse 22. This is what I want you to see. He was speaking of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, this was months running into probably 2 years. I don't know when this happened within his 3 years ministry. But the Bible says, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them. And they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Meaning, when Jesus was saying that destroy this temple, I will raise it. Even the disciples who are saying, we too like this prophet. This pastor talks, he talks big. Something that they built in 46. I'm trying in their mind, this one is not breaking bread, it's not sharing bread. Temple. You get the picture. They didn't understand a word he was saying. Because they didn't see the Son of God. They didn't know that this is the carrier of eternal life. It was there when Peter saw him walking on water. Matthew 14. He says, if it's you, Jesus, and you say you are God, then do what? Bid me to come. Meaning, eternal life can be transferred through words. Yeah. Meaning, if you... That means Peter had an understanding that if you are a God and you speak and I stand on it, I can do the works of a God. A lot of time when we go to church, we always talk about how Peter sank. Have you walked on your basin of water before? Do you get me now? The important thing there is not that he sank. The lesson there is that Peter walked, meaning divinity can also be exercised. Thank you. And for your information, the part that he sank is not as long as the part that he walked. Get the picture. He walked, he sank, Then Jesus came and pulled him out. The Bible doesn't say Jesus carried him. The Bible doesn't say Jesus carried him. Both of them did what? Walk together. That means I can say 90 to about 95 to 98% of the time he walked. So when, you know, John didn't walk, but he was in the boat. So when John was saying that which we have seen, eternal life has been manifested. That means this eternal life that you people carry, it is real. Do you understand what he's saying? It is real. I'm not telling you stories. I'm telling you something that I have seen, I've witnessed. John chapter 3, verse 1. So you can understand what brought Nicodemus. He has been seeing the works of eternal life. So he walks up to Jesus in the night. Look at what he says to Jesus. Get this, your life is changed. Is somebody still alive here? You know what some of you think is being born again? I go to church now. You know, before, going to church used to be very hard. But now I go to church. I'm trying now. I'm trying. You know, before it's on Sunday that I want to wash my clothes. But these days, when I get up on Sunday, I want to go to church. You have started there. That's not all. See, if as a believer, all they know you as is a good man, something is wrong. You know, some of you, the only thing they know you are a Christian is that, no, he's nice. He's just nice like a Christian. Slap him and say, you're not doing anything. He's nice. He's just a nice man. That's how human beings slap you. The devil, too, is not slapping you. The Bible says he came to Jesus by night. Look at what he says. Rabbi. He didn't say son of God. Teacher. We know that you are what? A teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do. Notice the choice of words. Except or unless God is with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you get it? What did Nicodemus say? If God is not with you, you can't do these things. Look at Jesus' answer, verse 3. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, notice, Nicodemus said, unless God is with you. Jesus said, unless one is born again. There are two different things. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, unless God is with you. Jesus said, unless one is born again. No, calm down. Don't sleep. Think about it. Nicodemus said, unless God is with you. Jesus said, eh. You know, some of you, if they say, Kai, God is with this man, I say, yes. Ask that sister, even how she knows that God is with me. That, Jesus said, these things that you see me do, they are more than just a man whom God is with. I'm talking about a man who is a God. Because up until John 3, the only thing Nicodemus knew is either God is with a man or is upon a man. But he didn't ever hear that God can be in a man. So while Nicodemus was looking at how to do, Jesus was talking about being. So because what he was coming there is that God is with you, so teach me how God can also be with me so that me too I can do what you're doing. Jesus said, for you to enter into these things that I'm doing, you have to be a God. That is why the whole concept of being born again took Nicodemus by surprise. You know the next question he asked? And listen, being born again is a supernatural concept. Even a professor cannot understand it. Because he's operating at a level of life. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. Because he's operating at a level of knowledge that cannot access spiritual things. Did you get what I just said? If you understand what I just said, let me say I know. Okay, good. If you didn't understand it, put your hand. I want to explain. If you're an IT person here, let me see. Good. You are into IT, you program, you do. Good, good. Thank you, sir. Have you ever been where programmers are talking? You will be hearing English, but you don't understand. You've never been there? Or where medical professionals are talking? Doctors, when they are talking, they say the pathogen, you know, they begin to say, no, the things are symptomatic. You know they are not speaking French, but you don't understand one word of what they're saying. You know why? They are speaking from different realms of understanding. That is why when we say that somebody who is not born again is not alive, because he's breathing, he doesn't understand. Say, I'm not dead, see me. I'm very alive. He cannot understand. We are speaking from different what? Realms. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, there are many things in my heart I wanted to speak to you people, but since you are still babes, there are spiritual conversations I want to have with you, but you cannot bear them. And even up till now, you can't bear them because you are carnal. He didn't say you are not Christians. Meaning, even among Christians, there are different levels of knowledge. Yeah. When some people write some things on Facebook, I'm like, wow. Okay, good. All right. You need to grow. This one is in KG1. Yeah. But don't stop there. Keep growing. Yeah. I was telling them in Boko, God came to pull us from humanity into divinity. You know what we are doing consciously? We are always trying to pull divinity into humanity. Have you heard some people tell? Should I go there? Should I say it? No, I will not say it today. No, but I will say it later. I have conversations with my son, Sammy, and with my other son, Justin, but at different levels. Justin asked Wifi recently. He said, Uncle Wifi, what are you doing? He said, I'm brushing. He said, whose teeth are you brushing? You understand me? He said, whose teeth are you brushing? I was just wondering, what is in his mind? Wish he could not understand. He just said, I'm brushing. Sammy came and met me recently. I said, Daddy, you were teaching in church. You were talking about the transcendent life. What is transcendence? I said, transcendent. Not like I don't know what it is. But see, I'm trying to do what? So that he can understand. I said, transcendent is a... So I said, it's a higher life. He just looked at me and said, higher. I said, it's life in different shades. It's like the mouse trying to explain it. So I said, look, it's the life of God. He said, okay, to be born again. I said, yes. Let's leave it at that. He said, okay, to be born again. I said, yes. He said, okay, when you are born again, you are a child of God. I said, he said, you have the life of God. I said, exactly, that's what I'm saying. He said, okay. So, him too, he has the transcendent life. I said, yes. But listen, that's not what I meant by transcendent life. That's not what I meant. But that was how much he could receive. But later on, he would fully grow into it. Don't, you have not understood everything about eternal life. So Jesus said, look, that's why, you see, as he's talking with Nicodemus is like, You know the way people misunderstand what it means to be born again today? It's like that right from time. So are you saying you should get into your mother's womb? You see the way he's thinking. And be born. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus did not say no. He got the concept. He didn't understand the process. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Look at what he says. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Let's see how we round up around here today. So I can go home and think. Go back. That which is born of the is. Have you ever thought of this word is? It says when flesh gives birth, flesh operates as flesh. Looks like flesh. Thinks like flesh. He said, but that which is born of the is. Now take note. Capital letter and small letter. I was talking to a brother the other day. He said, hey, I'd have had more children. It's just that anytime my wife is pregnant, man, what I go through, I'm not sure we're ready for another one. So I told him, I said, it's just your mindset. No, he looked at me and he understood. I said, that's your consciousness. That's what you fear. That's what you experience. So as he was leaving, I said, when God gives birth, it's not painful. He said, Kai, it's true, sir. Thank you. And you are going to get this. You know the problem most Christians have? We are born of the Spirit, but we are living like the flesh. I'll explain to you. My son, they say he looks like me. I said, of course, he cannot look like you. Because he did not proceed from you. Jesus said, that which proceeds from the flesh acts like. That's what the word is there mean. Acts like, thinks like, walks like, has an experience of flesh. He said, but that which is born of the Spirit, acts like, think like, walks like, and has the experience of a God. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So you know what I want to ask you? What are you born of? So what Jesus is saying is that the first time, Nicodemus, your parents gave birth to you, that's why you're Nicodemus. But to experience what I'm saying, allow God give birth to you. When God gives birth to you, you will be a God. So let me define what Christianity is. Christianity is God making men gods. Christianity is not God rehabilitating men's character. Christianity, are you getting me? Is not character modification. Christianity is not behavioral change. No. Christianity is a God giving birth to his kind. Putting his life where? In you. So if somebody says he's born again, Kai, a God is born. I say a God is born. You know why Nicodemus packed his things and left? He can understand a man giving birth to a man, but he cannot understand a God giving birth to a God. He just said that, Kai, Jesus, man, I know what Jesus said to him. After I've used natural things to explain to you, if you can't understand it and you're a leader of the synagogue, then something's wrong. Glory to God. The day you receive Jesus, you receive his life. John 3:16. John 3:16. This is the ABC of what I'm teaching you. John 3:16. Can I ask four people here? What happened to you when you got born again? If you have an answer, let me know. What happened to you when you got born again? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Guess what? We sing that song. Then we say, Kai. Like I will die. Listen now. Is it that what you sang is fake? No. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand. Old things. More than a conqueror. Kai, the only problem. You just sang more than a conqueror. You said the only problem is house rent. It's only house rent. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. Then, you know, as you are singing that song during praise and worship, you get an alert. You get a message, not an alert. The landlord said, remember today is... Remember you said today. Are you getting me? You know, you were just singing. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. Remember you said today. Oga landlord, that's how you saved it. Oga landlord. I'm a new creator. Instantly he starts saying this praise and worship is too long. Why can't they just end this thing? Let's hear the message. Listen, does that mean you don't have eternal life? No. One day the devil got me angry. I was teaching eternal life and somebody was convulsing and dying in church. Boko. The guy started turning. His eyes turned white. I screamed, not where I am. The devil only goes as far as you allow him. So I walk up to him. I said, in the name, they were struggling with him. The guy said he doesn't know what happened. He said, as he sat there, all of a sudden, he was not seeing the building. And then something was leaving him. The sister said, thank God it happened. Because he wasn't serious with God. He wasn't serious with God. He was just coming to church. He wasn't born again. The sister said, thank God it happened to you in church. Now, what if this happened to you on the road or somewhere? See, we have not been called to troubleshoot the devil's activities. We've been called to stop them. So I walk up to him. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command life back into this body. Needless to say, after that service, he got born again and got filled with the Holy Ghost. God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him. Kai, does anybody believe in him here?
Yes, sir.
He said that whoever believes in him should not perish. Listen, he didn't say should not go to hell. He said, should not perish. Where? You don't need to perish in this life. That means you don't need to waste. You don't need to suffer. You don't need to have the experiences of hell. Here on earth. Oh, let me put it this way. You don't need to have the experiences of mortal men. whoever believes should not perish. He says, but should have what? Eternal life. So let me ask you a question. Do you believe?
I believe.
Do you believe?
I believe.
So if you believe, what do you have? So how many of you seated here this morning say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died for my sins and he rose again for my justification. If you believe that, let me see your hand up, amen. The Bible says, if you believe it, you have something. What do you have? It says you have eternal life. He didn't say he's going. No, watch the tenses. He didn't say he's going to have. He says he has it right now. Whether your landlord sends you an SMS or not, the Bible says you have it. Whether you're looking for a job or not, the Bible says you have it. It doesn't matter what anybody, it doesn't matter whether you have changed on the outside or not. If you believe, the Bible says right now you have it. Listen, it doesn't matter whether you just applied for a job, they said no. It doesn't change anything. There is something you have. He says you have eternal life. So the question is, you shouldn't be dwelling on the things you do not have. You shouldn't be dwelling on the job that has not come. You shouldn't be dwelling on the contract that has not come. What God wants you to do is to dwell on what you have. What do I have? I have eternal life. Because constantly what the devil wants you to do is to dwell on what you do not have. I have eternal life. And if I have eternal life, then I have life like God has it. And if I have life like God has it, then it means I am what? Some of you have not been able to say. Then it means I am what? I am God. I am God. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The son of a dog is a dog. The son of a goat does not give birth to a human. I know some of you like pets. Like the pet all you want. Snap the pet's picture all you want. Put the pet and call it first pet. Are you getting me? Or call it first. It is still a what? It's an animal. When Obama was president, they said they were going to get the first cat. I said, first cat, middle cat, last cat. It is all cat. But for that cat to become a human being, it must go through something not genetical. This is not genetical recomposition. Mm-mm. There's no natural process that can make it. That means something miraculous, something supernatural will have to happen. Something supernatural happened to you when you got saved. A Christian is not a reformed human being. No, hallelujah. A Christian is somebody who has received the very life of God and has become a God. Wait. Can't you understand why scripture says, and he has raised us up to sit together with him where? In heavenly places. Where? Far above. Only gods sit there. If you are not a God, am I talking to somebody? If you are not a God, you will not be allowed to sit at that level. Something happened to you. I am a God. Oh, no. No cancer can stay in this body. No sickness can stay in this body. No. No devil. I am a God. When I speak, things happen. When I speak, things happen. You know, some people are just looking at me. They say, yeah, we have heard that. You have not heard it too. No. When I speak, things happen. Exodus, I have 10 more minutes. Exodus chapter 7. Let me show you what God said to Moses. See what God said to Moses. So the Lord said to Moses, see. Underline the word see. Because that's why I want to round up.
Wow.
Moses, see, I have made you as God. To who? And Aaron shall be your prophet. Hello. You know the truth? If Moses did not see it, you know the issue with a lot of us? We have not seen it.
Yeah.
We have not seen it. Say, I have made you a God to Pharaoh. He made Moses, a man who is not born again. He said, I've made you as a God. I've made you as a God. He said, as a God. You look like a God. You see, scriptures are running through my spirit. I'm telling you to calm down. Us, he has not made us as a God. He has made us the God. You know, some of you still enter some offices. You say, come on, get out. Get into some offices. Come on, get out of this office. Everywhere you have been in your life is come on, get out. Everywhere you have been in your life, that's how they talk to you. Have you noticed the consciousness you carry is how people address you? Everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. See, at this time, Moses was 80 years. He was an 80-year-old man. Guess the only instrument he had to go and confront Pharaoh? A stick. This is a stick that he had always been carrying. God came upon it. Hi. But I can imagine the grandeur of that palace when they see that 8-year-old man walking in with his stick. Gum. Gum. Did you ever hear anybody say that Moses was a stammerer? Did you ever hear anybody say? And Moses was a stammerer. The Lord said, you have to let. It's Aaron that used to finish it. He's the prophet. Prophets speak for God. He said, let my people go. He said, yeah. Eyeball to eyeball. All the demons and charm that Pharaoh had done. To let you know that Pharaoh was not just an educated man. Some of you think that life is just... See, the day you think life is just intellectual, are you getting me? You will suffer under the dominion of devils. See, there's a place knowledge can carry you. There's a place only spirit can dare.
Yeah.
Don't ever make that mistake. So as you are gaining knowledge, you must lay hold on supernatural structures. You know, have you heard some people say, you know, how do you go about issues? You know, when you tell Christians, how do you go about issues? The first thing that comes to their mind is prayer. Maybe you don't know what prayer is. That's why you're talking about, like, maybe you don't know what prayer is. No. Maybe that's why you look down on prayer. Because when you come to a Nigerian situation where you have professors in the cabinet who don't know what to do, listen to me. Are you getting me? You need to understand. Prayer is not petition sessions. Prayer are chanting sessions. They are God sessions. You know, some of you don't have... You know, I was talking to a pastor. Just for information, I was in London recently. Amen. So... I was talking to a pastor how when we're in London, and he was telling me that, you know, the problem with most Christians, we are Christians, so he's talking about our problem. The problem with most Christians is that we talk prayer too much. I killed the conversation, left him, because he was seeing me praying in the night. See, if they say you are praying too much, keep praying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know why? Tomorrow will show what you have been doing yesterday. Yeah. Don't ever make a mistake. Tomorrow will show what you are doing this night. See, I think all of us go in the night to our rooms and claim we are praying. It's tomorrow that we show whether we're truly praying or not. You know, some people, you know, when we're on incense, some people will sleep for 2 hours, get up and say, glory, the city is ours. See? If you were not praying and you just got up and wrote the city is ours, tomorrow no city will be ours. Because as gods, it's what we say today that become our realities tomorrow. The things we say are not guesswork. So I told him, I said, man of God, listen, maybe your concept of prayer is different from mine. I'm not a praying Buddhist. I'm not a praying... Don't put prayer at the level of other religions. Don't get it wrong.
Wow.
I say it's in prayer I tower high. See, you need to see how I see myself in prayer. When I begin to pray, Rabaku Katia Labranda Zufa Shepataleko. In that place, I wish you can get my heart. In that place, no problem exists.
Yes.
I told you during Faith Adventure, the stammering lips of a god is more powerful than an eloquent mortal.
Yeah.
Don't play with when God puts his word in your mouth and he says you should speak it. Don't play with it. Maybe you don't know his words. 3 weeks ago, the Lord spoke to me. Sarame, what is this? I say, it's a Bible. He said, what is inside the Bible? I say, words. He said, whose words? I said, the word of God. He said, hey. He said, these are words for God. These words here, they are for God. He said, reconfigure your language. I'm going ahead of myself. He said, train yourself to speak like a book. Nobody will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Some of you speak the words of Malcolm X. You speak the words of Martin Luther King. You speak the words of Trump. You speak the words of so and so person said. Hey, when you know what God have said and you speak the words of a God, you see, it says see. No, what I want you to underline there is see. My last scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. See. Train yourself to see. The Bible should not be a book you read only in church. It's your manual for godlike living. Are you getting me? Wait. Why am I going ahead of myself? All the things that Moses did in the Bible, how did he do them? Did he ever gather an army? How was he doing it? He will come and announce tomorrow them. There are going to be hail, stones everywhere. Gum. I'm sure at a point in time, by the 8th miracle, anytime that old man is coming, they will be asking themselves, what again? I'm sure the advisors too were telling Pharaoh, please, let them go. And all he comes to do is what? I'm teaching you to live like gods.
Amen.
See, your problem is not that you don't have a job. The problem is that you have not become conscious of eternal life. See, there are jobs in this Abuja.
Yes.
There are contracts in millions in this Abuja.
Yes, sir.
But you can't access them talking like a mortal.
Yes, sir.
You know, you have to walk. You know, the problem is that spirit has given birth to spirit, but spirits are still talking like flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is what? He's going to become. He is. Notice is again. Old things have passed away. See. That means God wants something to change in your perception. Because that's the key that unlocks it. See. How do you see? You have to see. You have to see. You have to see. That's why you have to meditate God's word on this truth until you come to a place where you say, I am a God. All things have passed away. You can have it. See, behold. Because the only reason you live like a human being is because you were trained to live like a human being. Now that you are born again, you need to be trained to live like a God. Do you understand it now? You were trained to live like a human being. That's why you expected the things that happen to humans. And listen, growing is not a curse. It's a process. So see the difference. Jesus was a God. He came to earth. Why didn't God just drop Jesus? Like some of you see in those your movies. Why didn't Jesus just arrive? You know, if he arrived like that, how many of you would doubt him? No. Or let's say one day something happens, they say there's a strange object coming. You know, scientists are always seeing strange something. Then they announce it on CNN, we all gather. They say, watch, he's going to arrive. And then we all gather. The object becomes clearer, it takes the form. Hey, man. Eventually he comes with his throne, with his knife. Then you hear his voice without any amplifier. I am Jesus, the Son of God, whom you all doubted. See, everybody will worship him, even Satanists. No. You know what God did from divinity? When he came, he allowed him to be born in flesh so he can go through the process of understanding how to live like a man. That's why you can understand why Jesus' conversations were very... From where he's coming, he's like stepping down into humanity. Higher knowledge against lower knowledge. He had to slow down and think what it's like to be a human being. Go through carpentry. Do you understand me? Hustle. Okay, I think I get it. I mean, the Bible says he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Just the reverse in the new birth. You are now born a human. Your parents gave birth to you as a human. God has given birth to you as a spirit. Guess what he's doing to you in church? He's allowing you to grow as a believer so that you can get out of this flesh way of thinking and come to a place where you live, you become conscious of what has happened to you. And guess what? As your consciousness grows, your experiences change. You can come to a place where you will never need doctors in your life. Where diseases... You know, these days when I hear somebody has cancer, I begin to laugh. What is cancer? Eternal life will obliterate it. What is HIV? That's fibroid. Wait, can I ask you a question? What is joblessness? What's poverty? Behold. You know, lately, this is what I've been telling myself. I'm a God. I sat on the other. I said, which door will not open? No, which door will not open? Who will I pray for? And the person will not be healed. Your consciousness changes. Guess what? Your experience will change. The day you walk into that office and something just snaps in you and you know that, look, this office is mine. That's all. Forget everything will begin to organize itself. T reality becomes your reality. You see, from that day, the day you end, you see, you know, did I share my testimony of how I got my first car? Did I ever share it with you people? How I was sitting in a car, and all of a sudden I just knew that car was my own. I was inside the car. Immediately I just knew the car was my own. Of course, I didn't tell the owner and say, guess what? Your car is not yours anymore. Amen. But I just knew. I just knew the car was my own. And the words that came out of the person's mouth was, Pastor Remy, do you have a driver's license? I said, no, I'm going to get one. In fact, the way I answered is different. Needless to say, the following day I was inside that car. See, the day you discover that God has made you a God to your industry, you will not care whether they buried seven virgins. And as God, as you rise in this consciousness, people will look into your face. A time will come, man, when people see you, they will be scared. I'm not saying you're intimidating them. They will be intimidated. They will feel like they've seen a God. One man said, no, don't allow that pastor to enter here. They say, why? He said, if he comes here, I can't tell him no. He said, no, don't allow him. They said, no, he wants to greet you. I said, he said he's going to... And, see, and I've never met him. Okay, I've been hearing about him. So they told me, they said, the man said, no, he just want to see you. Because they had been asking him for something. He said, I don't tell you the story. See, the first time he saw me, he said, hey! you know, where they are telling others, no. Eh? When they see me, they'll say yes. So I say, why are you so confident? The Lord has delivered me from the strivings of the people. And he has made me a head of the heathen. Praise God. Father, we lift you up. Just lift those hands up to heaven. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Let this truth just keep sinking in. Labrata sofregala. Begin to worship. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, begin to, you're begin to give him praise. Amen. You know, lift your voices and thank him for what he has made you. Malabrata sofregala. From today, you will not have the experiences of men. You will only have experiences of the God kind. Malabrata soto roba calabrato sofrita satalaba Rabada sondolo precalabarata sofregedo santalaba Rata sandalaba babacato sandalaba Ey yalabacata sandalabra calabrando sofregeliba Elemo sandalaba calabrato sofregeliba Imprata sandalaba calabregedo sofregedo sata Rabaca. No, I want you to open your mouth, you know, and begin to speak, begin to. Malebranto sandalaba calabranto se calaba. Engalabranto sofregedo sandalaba babababababacata. Rakata sandalaba con sofregedo sandalaba. Embranto sandalabra calabrendo sandalaba. Hey, marabaco sandalaba babacata sandalaba. Malabano sandalaba babababaca. Abuja belongs to you. Hallelujah. Malabano sandalaba. Embranta sandala baba makato sofregeleba. Embranta sandala makato sandala baba. Makata laba no sandala baba. Embranta sofregeleba. Rata sandala baba 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 makata. Rakata sandala baba moko sandala braka laba. Embranta sandala baba makata yalaba. Rakata sandala baba makato nama. Rapata sandala baba baba. Rakata sandala makona malaba. Recatalabano Sandalaba Koyalaba, Embranton Sandalabra Calababa, Catayalabo, Embranton Sandalababa, I declare to you that you are gods.
Yeah.
And you will not have the experiences of mortal men.
Yeah.
As you go out this week and you are walking in the consciousness of these truths, you will not suffer what mere mortals suffer.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus,
yeah,
you have experiences of divinity.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
I declare that you are blessed.
Amen.
I declare that you are favored.
Amen.
I declare that you are in the right place.
Amen.
At the right time.
Amen.
Meeting the right people.
Amen.
Getting the right results.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will say it's when you got there that they were ready to get that thing done.
Amen.
They will not have that conversation until you come to that place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I curse every sickness and every disease. Every sickness, every disease, whatever the name is, I deny it the right to stay in your body now. In the name of Jesus, you virus, you bacteria, whatever the name is, you germ, I curse you. And I command you to leave their bodies now, 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 in the name of Jesus. Everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, I decree a creative miracle in your bodies. What was not there before, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I command it, restore to your bodies now, in the name of Jesus. I command your intestines quickened, your liver quickened, your kidneys quickened, your eyes quickened. I command every part of your body quickened right now, in the name of Jesus. Let that pain leave you now. I said, let that pain leave you now. In the name of Jesus. Check your body. Check your body. Hallelujah. Check your bodies. Praise the Lord. He has no right to stay in your body. Check your bodies. You are healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. And this week, I bless you. This is your week. Lord said that the city is ours.
Amen.
City taking opportunities.
Amen.
Are yours.
Amen.
Oh, you didn't hear me. I said city taking opportunities. Amen. Are yours.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let the anointing of God's Spirit lead you.
Amen.
Where you need to be.
Amen.
This week.
Amen.
Writing the proposals you need to write. Where many are struggling, for access, I give to you access this week in the name of Jesus. Let the wind of God's Spirit carry your voice beyond where you are and amplify it in the hearts of the people you need to be with. Let God announce you in high places in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. And I declare that you will return needless with testimonies abounding. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people say amen.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.